The Twilight Concert Series returns to Pioneer Park this summer, every Thursday, July 16th through August 27th. Visit twilightconcertseries.com for the full lineup and more details.
The 6th annual Utah Beer Festival takes place Saturday, August 15th at Library Square in downtown Salt Lake City. Visit utahbeerfestival.com for more details.
I'm Christian Schultz, junior editor for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be speaking with a pair of musical and cultural influences making an impact in Utah County and beyond, Studio Studio Dada and the Medusa Collective. Studio Studio Dada is an independent recording studio located in Provo, Utah. The studio boasts a collection of microphones, instruments, and recording equipment, catering to both the indie and garage rock music scenes for whatever they may need to create a signature sound. Bands that have recorded albums in the studio include Quiet House, Sen Wisher, The Salt, The Sea, and The Sun God, Bat Manners, Nightwings, Batty Blue, and more. Slug writer Blake Lazinski sat down with founder Stephen Cope to talk about the studio.
One of my favorite albums was the Officer Jenny album, project released 3 years ago,
two or three years ago.
So check that out. I just want to throw that in there before we get going. What brought on to put together a music studio? Where did that come from?
So at the time, I started Studio Studio Dada about at the end of 2013.
Okay.
I was going to school at BYU for music production, which was a thing. I have a lot of reasons for starting this studio. Part of it was I wanted an inexpensive DIY space in the community. At the time, Black Pyramid Recording Studio was going, but I wanted to start sort of a lower cost thing for like my friends who just wanted to record and folks who wanted to record their own albums. So I bought a little gear and started recording some friends' albums. And then another part of the reason I started the studio is just so I could fund my own like Officer Jenny records.
Okay.
To make money to purchase equipment so I could record those myself. But eventually it sort of turned into a thing, and I've been working on mostly records that my friends are making, and it's been really great. I get to work with friends.
Who are some of the people you're working with?
Quiet House just released an album, and my friend Stuart Wheeler, that's my friend Stuart Wheeler's project. Ben Swisher,
okay,
from Sen Wisher, just released an album, which I think is really great. I worked with Bat Manners. Who else? Violettas is working on an album right now that I think is really good. Nightwings, just like literally all friends of mine, which is really awesome. That's like the ideal. That's the dream. So,
where do you kind of see it going as it develops and evolves?
So I've talked to Scott Wiley at June Audio about his studio, which is an incredible, gorgeous, like high-end, so many thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars put into it. I like don't have an interest in doing that, in creating a studio that is high-end and commercial and anything. I sort of imagine I'll just keep working with my friends. I don't really see it progressing.
Just kind of what it is. And you're happy with that.
I'm happy with that.
That's cool.
I'm not really interested in being a studio owner, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Maybe eventually I'd like to even work with Scott Wiley, record like higher end stuff at his studio, like produce records at his studio and have my own studio for like the stuff I can do well.
Boutique kind of stuff.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Exactly.
And so you're doing a lot of production there, or is it more of the engineering and sort of
my
thing?
Studio?
Yeah.
At my studio, I've been doing just, engineering a fair amount. I mean, I contribute to the arrangements and production, but I've sort of tried to keep like a distance from the albums aesthetically, but maybe I'm not good enough to like not leave my mark on it or something.
Okay.
And maybe it's just that, you know, when you have someone working on your record, you're going to hear them on the record,
right?
No matter what role they're playing as a producer and engineer. that's going to affect the end sound. So,
is there anybody down in Provo, maybe Utah as a whole, that you'd like to work with, or you're trying to work with right now?
There are like some local bands who like I think are really cool and I'd like to work with. But I mean, honestly, like I think it would be fun to work with some of the bands like the punk and, you know, some of the bands up here in Salt Lake, right, that mostly just people I want to be better friends with. Okay. The kids who hang out at Diabolical and stuff. Strong Words, okay. Big Baby.
What are your plans beyond the studio as an artist and with the offers of Jenny, which we talked about? Are you doing anything with that right now?
Yeah, actually, I just finished up a record that's sort of a freak folk album that I think is really good, that I'm gonna release in September. I've never really put much effort into releasing my albums. It's sort of been just like a throw it online, fuck it, whatever.
Right.
But this one I'm doing like a proper release show and gonna have like Officer Jenny tote bags and pocket mirrors and shit, so.
Where are you doing that at?
Maybe Velour, but I might just do it like at a house or something.
That's cool.
Yeah.
When you're writing music, it is a folk album at its core, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't say, okay, this is folk because of this.
Sure.
Where do you kind of pull from on an album or anything that you write or produce? Where are your inspirations coming from?
I mean, a lot of it is like internal. I mean, with my songwriting and my production, a lot of the times I just like end up saying, fuck it, nothing matters. So like a lot of it comes from just like this like nihilistic angst, this despair where I'm just like, I don't give a shit anymore. And I think maybe that like contributes to the aesthetics sometimes, which is like bad or good, I don't know. So a lot of times my lyrics end up just being like, what is this bullshit that I am writing right now? Or my, the production ends up just being like, well, it doesn't really matter what this sounds like in the end, no one's gonna listen to it. Or if people listen to it, they'll die and then forget about it. So let's just blow it out or something, you know, oversaturate everything, overdrive everything. And I guess that's contributed to things, but I don't know if that's an answer to
the question. That's good enough. Shift gears a little bit here. We had Marina talking about Medusa Collective. Do you want to kind of talk about that a little bit and what you guys are doing with that?
Yeah, so the Medusa Collective is just an organization of people in the Provo music scene specifically, but we have, you know, friends here in Salt Lake. Because the Provo music scene is pretty male-dominated, I mean, the music scene throughout the whole music industry in America and the world is heavily male-dominated. We're trying to give women and non-binary folks, non-male musicians and artists, like a space where they can be heard and not looked down on or judged based, where there's no gender bias. I mean, that's always going to be, I mean, it's impossible to escape the patriarchal institution in such a small scale, but I think we've done a pretty good job at like at least starting a conversation in Provo about gender bias and the male domination that we see in the Provo music scene. With like Alex Powelson did some research about the percentages of like male featuring bands that are playing at Velour and Muse, and it was about 75% male featuring in the last like quarter of, or the last half of 2014. And I did a similar sort of study about the Rooftop Concert Series, and it was about the same percentages. So, and the study recently came out, like looking at various, what are they called, festivals throughout America, and it was about the same, 75% were male featuring or had no women in them at all, you know.
Do you think that comes out of there just more male featuring musicians in the country, or do you think it's a chicken and egg thing because of how we look at it and because how it's presented? There are more males. There are more male featuring musicians
absolutely
stepping forward to go out and perform.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't think it's that like booking agents are like, well, fuck women, we're gonna book men. I think it's more of it's cultural, it's systematic. Women are taught from their youth to be quiet and to keep, and they're not given opportunities for music education, and they also don't have role models. And so they don't see anyone playing, any women playing. I mean, there are, of course, women to look up to, Stevie Nicks, Cher, right, Janis Joplin, things, but like, it's still just so disproportionate that there are no role models. So as a result, I mean, it's a self-perpetuating system in that way. So it's like a hard thing to combat, but so that's what we're trying to do, is combat it.
If somebody wants to get involved, or say somebody who is thinking about starting a band or is in a band, a female or non-binary, how are they going to get a hold of you? What are you guys doing to connect with those that are trying to get on stage and perform at places like Velour?
So at this point, we've been holding concerts monthly at Velour, at Urban Lounge. We're looking to hold one at Diabolical. And we've had a few house shows. We're also, we had an art show on Saturday, and that went really well. And we're planning on having open mics every month. So that no boys allowed open mic nights. Open mic night, that's a really good example of how this gender bias is sort of out of the hand. It's not, the folks booking shows aren't really in control of the gender proportions, because like attending Velour's open mic night, it's like a lot of the times there's 19 men on stage and one or two women or non-binary folks. And obviously that's totally out of the control of booking agents. It's just a thing we have to deal with ourselves. So
any girls just or non-binary, reach out. Find Medusa Collective.
Absolutely. We're online.
Online everywhere, right?
Yeah, all over the place.
So we talked about Provo. Let's talk about the scene for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of the scene.
Yeah.
I love a lot. I mean, people are blown away by the talent there when they actually look into it. What about the Provo music scene has caught you, enchanted you to where you want to push and make it that much better?
Yeah, I love the Provo music scene because it's self-serious. I mean, parts of it at least. It does take itself very seriously, and I love that. A lot of people who really want to make it and really think they can make it, which is fun. And there's a sort of naivety to it, but it's like that youthful innocence that we lose, you know, that classic literature theme where of youthful innocence, and somehow these people haven't lost this like hope for fame. I also love it because it is so like multi-faceted. There are so many people doing so many things in different genres, with different aesthetics, with different principles, different ideologies. It's really exciting. There's also like, yeah, because it takes itself so seriously, everyone's always talking about it,
right?
Which is fun. You can go on Twitter and there's always someone tweeting something about the Provo music scene, talking shit on someone, which I love. or it's saying, you know, complimenting each other, but I like the talking shit more. But it's so fun. It's just always drama, you know?
Right.
I love it.
We've already kind of talked about where we can find out more about Medusa Collective. Where can we find out more about Studio Dada?
So there's a Facebook page, facebook.com/studiostudiodada. Also studiostudiodada.com.
There we go.
Yeah. I occasionally, you know, post funny shit. So go follow.
Thanks again to Stephen Coe for joining us. Please check out studiostudiodada.com.
Yeah.
See all the things coming out of it and watch out for that Officer Denny album eventually.
Yeah, in September.
Okay, yeah. Great.
It should be great. Officer Jenny has a show at Diabolical on July 9th.
July 9th, so if this comes out before then,
yeah,
hopefully go and check that out because it's always a good time.
The Twilight Concert Series returns to Pioneer Park this summer, presented by the Salt Lake City Arts Council, every Thursday, July 16th through August 27th. The series brings together an eclectic selection of performers from various genres, all at an affordable price for a massive audience to attend. Tickets are on sale in advance at 24tix.com for $5, or for purchase the day of the show for $10. Gates open at 5 p.m. and music starts at 7 p.m. Visit twilightconcertseries.com for the full lineup and for more details.
The 6th Annual Utah Beer Festival, presented by Salt Lake City Weekly, will take over Library Square this year in downtown Salt Lake City. On Saturday, August 15th, from 3 to 8 p.m., you'll be able to partake in over 100 brews from all around Utah. while also being treated to live music from local bands, a karaoke stage, food vendors, and food trucks to complement your drink. Tickets will also be available for the VIP lounge, which is hosted by the Beer Professor, as well as early beer drinker tickets to enjoy the fest an hour earlier than the general public. Visit utahbeerfestival.com to purchase tickets and get full details.
The Medusa Collective are a music and cultural representation group based out of Provo. The group's main focus is to support and unite female and non-binary musicians, as well as encourage better gender representation in the Provo music scene. The group was founded in early 2015 with musicians and influential figureheads from over a dozen groups. Blake Lazinski chatted with Medusa Collective member Marina Tiarino about the group.
Talk about the Medusa Collective. How did it get started? What are you guys trying to do? Just lay it out there. Give me a pitch on it.
Absolutely. I will lay it out there for you. So I'm not one of the founding members of the Medusa Collective. I did join later, but the collective was originally started by four individuals, and they're all from Provo, and I'm living in Provo right now. And the Medusa Collective's main kind of mission statement, if you will, is to support and unite female and non-binary musicians in the music scene and encourage better gender representation in the music scene. So that's kind of a general statement, but basically that involves a lot of different things, and we're kind of collecting more and more members as time goes on, which has been really great. But one of the easiest ways to do that, obviously, is to organize more shows. So we have so many amazing like artists, singers, producers, everyone's just kind of coming together and hosting our own events where we can kind of highlight these gender disparities and just have like all female fronted bands, or be more inclusive, obviously, and include like non-binary bands and things like that, and just kind of create more of a space where there hasn't really been one in the past. So
for the ignorant among us, what is a non-binary band?
Well, non-binary refers to an individual who doesn't either conform to or doesn't feel like they are part of like the gender binary. The gender binary, obviously, like male, female, right, man, woman. A lot of people don't fall within those categories the same way maybe we do, maybe I do. I, for the most part, obviously present as female culturally. I think people look at me and assume, well, yeah, she's a girl, she's a woman, or whatever, but there's people who don't fall into that spectrum, and it's important to us to give them specifically a space where they can be themselves and not feel like they have to conform to that, because, I mean, obviously, if you read the news or anything like that, I mean, there's people, if you don't look a certain way, if you don't act the part, sound a certain way, you know, the world's not a safe place for people like that. So one of the Medusa Collective's main aims is to make sure that there's spaces where non-binary people can be themselves.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What are some of the bands that are involved with your efforts?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to bring up really quick, Stephen Cope is an awesome person in the Medusa Collective and one of the main founders. And they actually have a studio in Provo called Studio Dada. And so Stephen is a producer and a singer, songwriter, he does everything.
Right.
And they are also kind of hosting weekly, I think Wednesday nights, weekly workshop where people can come if they're women or non-binary and kind of learn those skills and things like that. So it's not just artists and singers, but Stephen has a project called Officer Jenny. Elizabeth Holden is another founding member, and they have a project called The Violettas. Batty Blue is Tess and a couple other people, and they're another band too. There's so many. I mean, I don't know all of them personally,
right,
but
right.
Yeah, and obviously myself, I play as Diatom.
Okay, cool. I saw your guys' little part in Dirty Provo, mm-hmm. talking about the representation at the Muse
yeah.
and Velour. Have you reached out to them? What has their reaction been?
Yeah, absolutely. Dirty Provo, I personally don't know everyone in that group, but I do know some of them. And Alex Powelson is a member of the Medusa Collective that actually put together those stats.
Okay.
And she's fantastic. I actually have them right here. I thought I'd kind of bring it up.
But yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so she kind of spent a certain amount of time, I think within a certain amount of months, and I think that she's still collecting this information as well. So we wanted to show the actual gender disparity in numbers, since numbers don't lie, obviously. This is a 6-month assessment of gender bias in the Provo music scene, specifically between July and December 2014. And included on here are two of the main venues, Muse and Velour. So these are all percentages of the total amount that she was able to gather. So the total amount of all male bands that participated in shows at these two venues during these 6 months was 277, which is quite a bit. And 73% of those were all male bands. So the all male bands don't even include another member that was not straight or male. 27% of those bands had at least one female or non-binary member. 32% were female or non-binary fronted bands, 32%. And then 30% of 277 bands were all female or non-binary bands. And I think it's really great that she put together those statistics for us specifically. I think sometimes we can talk about these issues on like a grander scale, but when it comes down to like our community, those numbers are like pretty shocking. And it's great because I actually compared those to another study done on music festivals all across the United States, and they reflected pretty much exactly the same. Some were actually worse in Provo.
I'm a huge fan of, I mean, you could ask anybody who I've talked to. My favorite bands, period, are usually female centric. I feel like a lot of females, just it makes more sense, the scope of rock music and stuff. I like a lot of those bands, a lot of the local bands, like Blue Aces mm-hmm. is one of my favorite local bands.
I actually played with them in high school.
Yeah, they're great. But why is this so important? Why, I mean, a lot of our listeners will get it, but for those that don't get it, mm-hmm. or kind of see this as, oh, you know, we've got another group complaining about another thing. explain to those folks why this is important.
For sure. I mean, I think a lot of these issues, you kind of have to make it a little personal to kind of feel it. And even if you don't experience the feelings that me or maybe the other people in the collective may have, I think it's still good to support better representation. And by representation, I mean, even just looking at these statistics, for example, having, you know, the majority of all the bands, for example, in my city where I'm living right now in Provo, be male fronted. I mean, if you like, this is just a little example, but if I was like a really young girl right now and I was going to music festivals or concerts and I was thinking, you know, I'd like to be a singer or something like that, you know, it would be, of course, there are, like you said, Blue Aces, there are female fronted bands that I think I could see my gender represented, and I could feel like, you know, that's something I can do. But until we create more of an equal representation, there's just going to be, it's just not enough, if that makes sense. Of course, I personally, in my own life, ended up being able to make my own music, and I sing, and I do all the things I want to do, and that's great for me. But the, you know, the reality is that there's many people who don't see themselves represented, and it gets worse when you go down to non-binary people, you know, people who are trans or, you know, self-identify as queer in any way and don't see anyone that looks like them on stage. You know, it's like, it's not just music. I mean, another easier way to think about it is if you look at the media, for example, if you want to do soccer, you know, and you're trans and you're black and you don't see another trans black soccer player, you could still do it, you know. And I think there might be some obstacles and that would really suck, but like, why don't we work for better representation so that the people who don't see themselves represented feel a little bit more like, you know what, yeah, I can do that. Because right now it's completely geared towards male, usually white, usually straight, usually falling inside the category of looking like what you're supposed to look like if right. you're all of those things, you know. So it's just about better representation. There's no other way to say it.
I mean, along those same lines, have you had any sort of pushback, any negative reaction,
absolutely.
Anything like that? You want to talk a little bit
absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely, and it's bizarre when you think about our mission statement, you know, as simple as it is at the foundation, it's just we want better representation. And that's why we're here, and we're doing that ourselves. We don't really expect the music scene to do it for us. Right. We're doing it ourselves, you know. But we have had some pushback, and a lot of it has been like, you know, online trolling. We're really active on Facebook, obviously. That's our, you know, era. So, but we've had really bizarre comments. I think the thing that we've been getting the most has surprisingly been from white male straight dudes, and they feel they're saying that they feel like they're being attacked, or we're like taking a space away from them, which is really illogical when you think about it, because they already have the space, you know what I mean? And creating more of a space for people to do things that they are not really able to do right now doesn't take space away from other people. It's just creating more diversity. So it's kind of an illogical thing to complain about, but that's mostly what our pushback has been. Besides that, it's been great. Like I said, we've been getting so many more members as time has gone on, and there's people coming out of the woodwork who I think are like the ones that are really worth it. I mean, I've heard things like, I had no idea that there were other people like me in this city. You know, that's like so wonderful to hear. And I feel really grateful to be part of something like that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Oh, it's a great cause. We have several people that are kind of in your collective. You have, you know, female acts, you have non-binary members. Are there any, you know, any of these white males, testosterone, are any of those people, are they helping out? And if not, how can they help out with this?
Absolutely. This might be kind of a cheesy example, but my boyfriend happens to be in that category white, male, straight, all that stuff that we are basically not giving them a space for, you know, in our collective. And I'm grateful to have my boyfriend, because he is a great example of someone, not just because he's my boyfriend, but he's a great example of someone who understands that this is not a threat in any way to what he wants to do or in his position in life. He realizes that he's a part of the class and the gender construct in every single way that already has every like avenue and opportunity. That doesn't mean that he might not face obstacles. Right. You know, shit happens to all of us.
Right.
But he understands that the best thing that he can do is actually to let us do what we do. And I think that what I would say to other people who want to support, because there are actually plenty of people like that in Provo who are not part of the collective, obviously, because they're not part of like what we're supporting.
What you're doing, right.
But they come to the shows, you know, they show up at the events, come to our events, like spread the word about us. Like I'm on this podcast, obviously, because I want to see if like there's other people who we haven't reached yet, you know, who like need this extra support. And I think that what you can do if you're white and if you're a male and you're straight and all those things is like, let us do what we're doing and don't, you know, this might sound kind of mean, but like, don't whine about it. Right. You know, you already have everything. So I think that, I really want to say this really quick too. There's this fantastic blog called Black Girl Dangerous. And it's written, I think there's contributing writers, but anyway, it's a fantastic blog, talks about all sorts of things. But one of the great campaigns they did recently was Mia McKenzie, the main writer, called for straight white males to send them a video of themselves saying, I will shut up, I will be quiet, and I will listen. And I think that that's really the simplest way to do it. Like, listen to what we're saying, listen to what other people are saying. Try to see if the events you're going to are mainly people that look like you. I mean, maybe if you went to more events that were fronted with like female bands and non-binary bands, like that would become more normal for you to see. And if eventually sometime in the future you become like an event organizer for like Bonnaroo or something, you'll like remember that and you'll remember to maybe look for more female bands. You know what I mean? So
oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. No, that's great. What are you guys kind of looking at in the future? You have some shows coming up. Where is Medusa Collective going in your mind and you and you know, I'm sure Steven and the others have sat down. Where do you guys want to go?
Absolutely. So the shows obviously will continue. I believe we'll just continue to host more and more of those. The art show, I think, is the first, or maybe not the first, but it's an attempt for us to kind of reach out to not just musicians, but to artists in general. So like visual artists, people who write poems, stories, fiction, nonfiction, anything like that. We want to display those artists as well. The Medusa Collective has released a compilation mixtape of artists in the area, I think including Salt Lake as well. I think eventually we're also taking submissions all the time for like more art for posters and stickers. And I mean, we're just doing like everything, honestly. It's just going to keep going. And I think that there's going to be a zine pretty soon as well that will be regularly published by the Medusa Collective. And yeah, we just want more and more people to support and contribute. So
I think it's great. How can people find more information about you guys?
The Medusa Collective, like I said, we're really active on Facebook. So if you type in the Medusa Collective, we'll be there. We have an Instagram, which I think is just the @simple and Medusa Collective. But like I said, I mean, we're hoping to have more in the future.
Yeah, I can testify to the fact that if you Google Medusa Collective, you can find quite a few things on you guys.
We'll be there. Yeah, we post all of our events and things. things like that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Marina. Is there anything else
if you don't mind, I'd actually like to say one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, part of what's important to us as a collective, and I'm speaking representatively of the collective, not just from my own personal experience, is being really carefully selective about like the venues that we associate ourselves with, and if we ever contribute any writing or anything like that to any other magazines and things like that. We're really careful about making sure that these spaces are spaces that are safe, like declaratively safe for the people that we're supporting. And even in the situation, we were kind of hesitant actually to support Slug Magazine. With the podcast. I think obviously since our main mission is to find more people like us, I think it was hopefully going to be a good thing.
And you're sitting across from a white, straight male.
Yeah, and I'm making him listen to every word I say, so it's great.
I'm with you.
But yeah, we were kind of hesitant for, like, I mean, one of the biggest things is that we didn't want to really associate ourselves with a magazine that continues to publish a regular column for an anonymous cop to kind of talk about. I'm sure you've read
I've read all those pieces.
Some of those, too. We just don't really understand why, like, after even the obvious criticism of that stuff, that's still allowed to go on. I mean, Angela Brown, I believe, is the writer for that piece, or the editor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like her main thing was, you know, supporting freedom of speech or whatever, and we just don't understand why that could possibly be, like, a logical explanation for allowing that to happen when, you know, if you took someone off who's clearly not helping in any way and not contributing anything positive to say for the community, you know, that's not restricting free speech as much as taking a megaphone away from someone who already has the space to say all those things, you know. And I just wanted to say that really quick. As the Medusa Collective, we're here to create a space for the people who don't already have that voice. And police brutality is a gigantic issue, and no, we don't need to hear more cops talk about it. If anything, I think that we'd like to, like, actually suggest that if there needs to be a column about police brutality, to maybe have contributing writers be the victims of police brutality. And there's also a fantastic activist group here called Utah Against Police Brutality that would be fantastic to interview for that column. And we'd like to publicly call for that column to be taken down immediately.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Anything else that you wanted to add?
No, thank you. Right. That's great. Thank you for having me. And please find us on Facebook. And
yeah, definitely. If you Google, like I said, if you Google the Medusa Collective, you're going to find, at least found their Facebook, their website with a little bit more what they're doing. So check them out. It was a pleasure, Marina. Thank you for sitting down with us today, and have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, myself, Christian Schultz, Henry Glashine, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, Slug will be chatting with Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp about the best burgers in Salt Lake City, as well as Rob Dutton from Lucky 13. Thanks for listening.